oh, I could get struck by lightning and die right now. Like, I don't know if I'm gonna get through this.
Welcome to the Thruer Podcast, the show helping aspiring long-distance hikers prepare for trail. Through stories, you'll learn about tips, tricks, and specialized subject matter to help you feel connected to the hiking community and prepared for your future treks. I'm your host, Carol Cheer Coyne. I'm a triple crowner and the founder of a long-distance hiking community called Thruer, which is short for Through Hiker. At Thruer, we focus on helping you prepare for trail and connect to the hiking community. This is something I personally would have loved while preparing for my first through hike, so I built it with the hiking community. And if you would like to join in on the fun, please check out our free membership and up-leveled Hiker Pro membership at thruer.com. That's thru-r.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Thruer Podcast. Our special guest for today is thru hiker and author Audrey Payne, or Glowstick. And in this episode, you'll discover the pros and cons to the hiker favorite food, the ramen bomb, and how to make a successful one. You'll learn about the not-to-miss hostel on the Appalachian Trail and how to navigate one of the most dangerous sections of the Colorado Trail. And of course, we will be diving into her new memoir about hiking the Appalachian Trail, Where the Rhododendrons Bloom. So let's get into it. I hope you enjoy this informative and fun interview with Glowstick. Well, Audrey or Glowstick, welcome to the Thruer Podcast. How are you today or tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on, Cheer. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, we're so excited to hear about all, and we'll talk about this in a second, your resume of hikes that you've done, and also your memoir. That, what did it just hit the market?
Okay. It did 2 weeks ago as we're filming. Yep.
Wow, that's amazing. So we're going to talk all about that after the interview. So we'll get into that. But a little teaser. It's called Where the Rhododendrons Bloom. Did I pronounce that right? Rhododendrons?
You did. Good job.
Beautiful, beautiful flowers. They're usually pink, right?
Yeah, I've seen white ones too, but most of the time they're pink. So I know when I was walking through the South on the AT and spring came alive, the forest just came alive with pink. It was so beautiful.
Yeah, and I remember seeing that particularly around the Hot Springs area when I was hiking last year. And it was just gorgeous, gorgeous blooms. So that's really exciting. Yeah, we'll get into that in a little bit. And great name of the book, by the way. So I'm just going to give a little rundown for the people who are new here, just tuning in for the first time. We're going to have you, Glowstick, give an intro for yourself. So whatever you want to share with the audience, where you're from, maybe where you grew up, what you do for a living. In the past, you've hiked a lot of trails. So maybe give us a rundown of the trails that you've hiked. And then we'll get into the rapid fire questions. Those are meant to be quick and fun, but if we want to get into that, some of these are highly debated topics, we can get into it. And then I'll go through the 10 questions that I ask every experienced hiker on the show. And after that, I'll ask you any follow-up questions. We'll go through your book. Really want to dive deep into the book because that's really exciting. You just launched it a couple weeks ago. And we'll also ask where everybody can follow along with your adventures, follow along with your book launch and all of that. So with that, Glowstick, tell the audience who you are, what makes you tick, what hikes you've hiked in the past.
Hi, everybody. My name is Glowstick. Well, my off-trail name is Audrey Payne, but my trail name is Glowstick. I live in Boulder, Colorado, but I'm originally from Western New York. And I moved to Colorado from Washington, D.C. after I finished the Appalachian Trail. Hiking really makes me tick, as do a lot of outdoor activities. I also love to ski, which you have to if you're in Colorado. I like to climb. I like to paddleboard. I like to be outside a lot. I like to read. And as far as my hikes go, so my first long hike was the Appalachian Trail. And then I've gone on to do a bunch of shorter ones too, including the Colorado Trail, the John Muir Trail, the Wonderland Trail, the Foothills Trail, the Trans Catalina Trail, the O Circuit in Patagonia, and a bunch of small long weekend ones as well. I do a lot of backpacking here in Colorado. Let's see, Cheer, what did I miss?
Oh, that was pretty much it. Yeah, you covered it. And I love the Trans Catalina Trail.
Oh, me
I
too.
live in California, and so I've done it, oh my gosh, twice. And we're gonna do with the Thru group, we're gonna do another one in May. So I'm glad that's on your resume. It's a beautiful little hike on this island off of the coast. So I'm glad
Yeah,
to see that on your resume.
it was a super cool little trail. Actually, I learned about it from someone originally who is going to be in your group, I think,
Oh, really?
a guy named Paladin.
Yeah, Ben.
Yeah, so it was super weird. Like, I had never heard of this trail. And then twice in the same day, I was listening to Hiker Trash Radio and somebody was talking about it. And then Ben or Paladin, he also mentioned that he was going to go do it. He ended up having to cancel his trip. But I heard about it twice in one day. And then I was like, oh, I should investigate what this is. I've never heard of it before. It's weird. It's come up twice. And then it also showed up on YouTube. And then I was like, well, it's a sign. I have to go. And I loved it. It was super cool.
Yeah, it's great because there's like buffalo roaming the island. There's a lot of great wildlife, like the little, I think it's gray fox.
I saw several foxes.
Yeah, the wildlife is amazing on that island. So it's a great hike. So you went somewhat recently. Did you go last year?
Yeah, I went last spring,
Oh,
last April.
nice. Oh, that's a good time to go. Yeah, we're going in May, so it might be a little bit hot, but we'll see. Well, thank you for the rundown, especially the resume. So the AT was your first hike. That's impressive. And you kept loving it. You kept hiking onto other trails too. So that's really great. So let's get into, and we'll obviously get into all of your experiences on all of those trails. But before we do that, let's get into the rapid fire questions. So what is the grossest thing you have done or eaten while on trail? And we're going to cover all of the trails in this interview. So you can pull from the Colorado Trail, you can pull from the AT, whatever it is you want. So, what is the grossest thing you did or ate while on trail?
I feel like this might ruffle a few feathers, but I ate one ramen bomb on the AT and it just was not for me. The way it sat in my stomach like a rock afterwards. I mean, that was probably it. I'm a vegetarian, so I feel like that cuts out a lot of the gross things you could eat on trail, but ramen bomb definitely, like all that salt, all those carbs at once, like it did not make me feel good after. I cannot recommend doing that. And for people who don't know what a ramen bomb is, it's where you mix your ramen with instant mashed potatoes and it forms like a solid potato ramen like ball, basically.
Those are fighting words for some people, I think.
I know some people are not going to appreciate that answer, but it was not for me.
Yeah, I made the mistake, my first ramen bomb. I think this is like a common mistake to make the first time. I poured the whole thing of mashed potatoes in
Me
my
too.
thing, and then it was this exactly what you're describing. It was just this ball, but then you're like, okay, well, I either have to carry it out or have to eat it. So you usually end up eating it, right? Because you don't want to carry the weight. But yeah, I was in the camp too when I first started the ramen bomb journey.
Yeah,
Definitely.
that's what happened to me. And that was the end of my ramen bomb journey. I never did it again.
That's not pleasant, especially with the too many potato part of the equation. Yeah, we try to warn people of that when we're in our thruer meetups and stuff. Like, okay, if you guys are gonna make a ramen bomb, like please don't use the whole package like I did.
That's very kind of you. I've never one time heard anyone say that. So thank you for spreading the good word and helping the people.
We are trying to do our job over here and make people's hikes easier. So, yes, that's one of the big ones actually, because nobody told me either. And then I just had to suffer through that experience and then spread the word. So, we're trying to do that at Thru for sure. Okay, let's move on. UL or don't care?
Somewhere in the middle. So some of my gear is UL for sure. Like I have a Z-Pax tent. I have some very light items, but I also am a cold sleeper and like to be comfortable. So even though I have some UL gear, I definitely fall somewhere in the middle. I'm not a UL hiker. It's not that I don't care, but I think I just care more about being comfortable.
Yes. Do you have any luxury items that you want to give a shout out to? at all. I know we're going to get into gear a little later, but every time we have this question, I am always thinking like, okay, so what are their luxury items? Like, do you have one luxury item that you carry that's a little ridiculous? Like, I know I do, but that's like a little bougie or ridiculous.
Well, I don't know if it's ridiculous, but I always carry a pillow. I know some people think that's ridiculous. I don't. But actually, I don't love my pillow. I have like an inflatable Therm-a-Rest pillow. So if anyone out there in the world has any particular pillow that you think is super comfortable and you love so much, please somehow reach out to me and let me know because I'm in the market for a new pillow. I feel like most of my gear is really dialed in, but the pillow could use some work.
Yeah. So you can, if you guys are listening and you want to connect and you have a great pillow to recommend to Glowstick, we're going to link all of the applicable links, like maybe Instagram, YouTube, and all that in the show notes. So you can go to the show notes and go straight to Glowstick and give her your recommendations. So
Perfect. I need them. Please help me.
yes, boots or trail runners is the next rapid fire.
So this is also going to be an unpopular stance, but I actually wear low-rise boots. I've been wearing the same type of shoes since the AT. I've tried some other ones. They didn't work nearly as well for me. So I wear Oboz Sawtooth 2 lows, and I feel like I've tried trail runners. They're not supportive enough for my feet. I have some back issues. They're not supportive enough for my back, but these Oboz shoes work wonderfully. And so I just keep buying the same pair. But I feel like I get a lot of crap for it. Like, serious hikers are supposed to wear trail runners, but I don't.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. You got to hike your own hike. You have to stick to your guns, I guess. That's what you're doing. You're sticking to your guns and not going with the flow of, not even flow, maybe the trend with that. And I feel like maybe since you wear boots, you might have less foot pain than maybe us trail runner. I mean, I'm a trail runner person myself, each their own, but I feel like maybe the people who wear boots have less foot pain. Do you when you're hiking, do you find that maybe your foot pain might not be as bad as the people, because like we're complaining about our feet all the time. So do you tend to have a lot of foot pain or not as much with the Oboz boots?
I mean, my feet definitely swell if, I'm going on a long backpacking trip for sure. But I mean, I don't feel like I have a lot of foot pain. And I went the whole AT without really having any foot pain. So that's why I just keep using these same shoes. I'm like, they're doing me good. I'm just gonna stick with what works.
Yeah. It's great that you found what works right out the gate, the AT. I didn't find mine until, gosh, many, many, many miles in. All right. Last rapid fire is stove or cold soak?
Oh my gosh, stove, 100% stove. I always think the cold soakers are kind of sad. Sorry if you're a cold soaker. I'm a big coffee gal. I love to have my hot coffee in the morning. And then after a long day on the trail, I just really like having a hot meal. So I don't know. I don't get the whole cold soak thing, to be honest.
Okay. Yep. That's what most people say on this show. So you're in good company. All right. Let's get to our 10 main questions that I ask every hiker on this show. So the first one is, we know your trail name is Glowstick. How did you get that trail name?
So when I was on the AT, I used a lot of gear that I just had already owned. Like I didn't have a lot of money to buy new gear. And so the tent that I started the trail with was just, a two-person alleged backpacking tent, but it really wasn't a backpacking tent. It was like 4.5 pounds. It's like a Kelty 4.5 pound tent. And anyway, so I had not opened up the tent when I got on the AT. I had not opened it up since like 6 months prior, when I had been at a music festival. And so my first night on the AT, I got to Springer Mountain. I went to set up my tent, and inside was a bright yellow glowing glow stick that had just cracked. And then I got off the AT to go to a music festival and a wine festival. So I got named Glow Stick.
Love it. That's so great. And I love all the festival participation too. That's
It
really
was
great.
kind of ridiculous, but it was fun.
Yeah, thumbs up for the wine festival from Cheer over here. All right, question number two. What drew you to long distance hiking?
So About 10 years ago, I got a really bad back injury when I was working out in a group exercise class at the gym. I herniated a disc in my back, which led to years of debilitating pain. I had always been super active, but when I was dealing with that, like I had to cut running cold turkey. I had to give up a lot of the active activities that I was used to doing and that I loved. And so I was doing a ton of reading. And I picked up a copy of Bill Bryson's A Walk in the Woods and the idea of hiking the AT stuck. I loved the book. I loved all the history that he shared in the book about the AT. And I was living in Washington, D.C., so I wasn't far from the trail. And I had actually like seen it on some of my local hikes. And so just the idea really stuck with me. And I decided that if I was ever healthy enough to do something like that, then I was going to do it. And so after getting a spinal fusion surgery where they put a piece of cadaver bone in my spine where this disc used to be, and having a very long, painful recovery, once I finally recovered and was well and had a little bit of money in the bank, I was like, okay, I'm gonna go, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, I like what you said there. Life is short. So you had the herniated disc, you had a lot of that pain and that sort of thing. And then once you were well enough to do this, you did it. That's so inspiring. I also had kind of a long-term neck injury from yoga. So
Oh,
I'm just like,
really?
yeah, I was trying to do, I was getting ready to do like a yoga teacher training. And so I was trying to get like a headstand. I was trying to do a headstand and I was just doing it wrong. And so even to this day, I have a neck injury that I have to deal with. So yeah, there's a little crossover from me to you there. It's really inspiring that even after that, you got out to hike the whole AT.
Going into it, I did not know if my back was going to hold up, but thankfully it did, and I think I came out a lot stronger after that.
Yeah, and I wonder if just moving every day helped with the situation and your recovery.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think so. I mean, I had to do physical therapy for a long time after my surgery, and even like right after the surgery, they told me to walk. They were like, walking is going to be the best thing for you. You're going to heal faster the more that you walk. So even right after the surgery, when I had like a huge incision in my stomach and I was on painkillers and all this stuff, I was getting out and walking as far as I could. And then even today, I mean, I had my surgery in the fall of 2014. So it's been almost 10 years. And even now, like if I'm not active, if I'm slacking off a little bit, like which especially happens in winter, I'll start to feel it more. Like staying active is super important to my back health.
Yeah, and that's funny. You're like, "Oh, I'll go on a long walk." I'll go on a walk every day for whatever, 6 months or however long you were out there.
Yeah, I was
So,
like,
yeah.
sitting at this desk is not doing me any favors. Let me just walk from Georgia to Maine. It'll be great.
Yeah, change it up a bit.
Oh,
Well, that's really inspiring. So, gear-wise, what's your favorite and least favorite piece of gear?
I would say my favorite piece of gear is probably my sleeping bag. I'm a really cold sleeper. So I have a Western Mountaineering. I think it's a Pro Light, something light, but it's a 20 degree sleeping bag, but it's ridiculously warm. And like when I was on the AT, I had a 0 degree sleeping bag, but again, like it wasn't, it was a Kelty. It wasn't a very expensive piece of gear. It wasn't a great piece of gear. And I was constantly freezing. And now with this sleeping bag, like I can hike, I can camp up in the mountains of Colorado all summer when it gets pretty frigid, and it just keeps me super toasty. Like I don't produce a lot of my own heat, I think, but I'll get in it and I'll be freezing, and then an hour later I'll be like the most toasty I've ever been. And as a cold sleeper, it makes me so happy.
It's the best. I'm a cold sleeper too. And like, if my feet are cold, I'm just not sleeping. But
Yeah,
it's going to be toasty.
I did a lot of research on sleeping bags and quilts before I got it. And I was looking for the comments of people being like, this is super warm. And like every single comment on every website for this sleeping bag I saw was like, this sleeping bag is so toasty. It's so warm, like blah, blah, blah. So I was like, that one, that is the one for me. And I
Yes.
love it.
Nice. All right. What about least favorite pieces of gear? So something you ditched right away on the AT, something or something that you just really didn't like to carry.
Yeah, so this is kind of a fun story. So that tent that I was telling you about, the heavy Kelty two-person tent that I had that I took on the AT. Like, I just, all my gear on the AT was heavy because I didn't know anything. And I was just using like old gear that I had for the most part. And like, I didn't realize like 4.5 pounds was heavy for a tent. Like, it seemed reasonable at the time. But like, my third day on the trail, I was talking with these two people that were hiking together, and they were sharing a tent. It was a Big Agnes Fly Creek 2, which is not a good size tent for two people. So they were sharing it, and they stopped to chat with me at like a water source, and they were asking me like, "Oh, what tent do you have? Like, ours is a great tent, but it's like not good for two people, blah, blah, blah." And I was like, "I kind of have the opposite problem. Like, I have this tent that's like really spacious and I'm really comfy in it, but it's really heavy and like all the stuff is weighing me down." And they were like, "Well, do you want to trade?" And I was like, "Are you serious?" And they were like, "Yeah, do you want to trade tents?" And I was like, "Yeah." Because the Big Agnes, of course, is only like maybe a little over 2 pounds. So I was like saving over 2 pounds of weight, which definitely helped me. And so we met up at camp that night, and they were like, "Yeah, let's take a look at each other's tents. And then in the morning, if we feel like we want to trade, we'll trade." And then we did. So, and then that tent lasted me for the full AT and, for a couple of years beyond too. So that was really helpful. Not that I didn't like my old tent, but it was not an appropriate backpacking tent.
The trail provides. I love that
The
story.
trail provides.
Right out the gate on the AT too, which is perfect.
I know. I feel like there were just so many things on the AT where things like that happened, where the trail did provide, that it was like, you can't deny the magic when all of these things are happening to you.
Yep, you can't deny it. That's for sure. Okay, let's get into memories now. So, what is your favorite and worst memory from trail?
Ooh, okay. My favorite memory from the AT is this one specific week on the trail. It was in Southern Virginia, where, okay, so my tramily was always fighting over miles. Some of us wanted to make faster miles. Some of us wanted to take our time and enjoy the trail more. And so we were always fighting about it. But on one particular week in Southern Virginia, we were trying not to go too far because we were going to go to trail days. So we didn't want to get like too far past Damascus. So we had a very leisurely, fun week that we deemed Creek Week, where we would just hike half days and then go swimming in creeks. And like sometimes people would bring like beer by or like treats by. And we would always rope all these other people into like hanging out with us by creeks and water and swimming holes. And I still think of that week on the trail as like my favorite. It wasn't necessarily my favorite section of the trail, but it was like my favorite few days on the trail where everyone was chill and having fun and not trying to go too fast or too far too fast.
Freak week. That's a good one. I'm curious. You mentioned your trail family was fighting about miles. Did you guys stay together the whole trail?
So that brings me to my least favorite memory.
Okay, great segue.
So I had a trail family for the entire AT, and some members remained consistent for the whole trail, and some, people would switch in and out, right? But my tramily broke in half in Vermont, right around Rutland, Vermont. And it was definitely half my fault because I got involved with a tramily member and it didn't go well. And so then the tramily broke in half because of that. And it was very dramatic. And everyone in the tramily was upset and yada, yada. But honestly, it was for the best because the people that went with the other group wanted to make bigger miles. And the people that went with me didn't want to make bigger miles. So we probably should have broken up sooner anyway. But at the time, it was very sad and dramatic.
Yeah, trail family drama. Totally get it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it sounds like the trail provided in that way too. Even like at the time, it probably was dramatic and not very fun. It sounds like everything happened maybe the way it should have with the two groups. So, but you
I
guys made
think,
it far. You made it to you made it to Rutland. That's well, if you're going northbound, that's like almost kind of near the end. So
it's like 1700 miles. So, but honestly, I don't think we should have all stayed together that long, but It is what it is, and hindsight's 2020.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, let's get into your fate or scariest memory from trail. Do you have something scary that happened on the AT or maybe the Colorado Trail or the other trails that you hiked?
Yeah, I had something scary happen on the Colorado Trail. So something you really have to be careful about in Colorado is that in the summer here, we have a lot of afternoon thunderstorms, and we also have a lot of high elevation where you're going up above tree line. So tree line here is around 12,000 feet usually, and the Colorado Trail often goes above 12,000 feet. And so because of these afternoon thunderstorms, you really need to be careful not to be above tree line because you could get struck by lightning. Like, people get struck by lightning and die from it in Colorado every year. And so a big section of like the southern part of the Colorado Trail is above tree line. And so it's kind of hard to avoid. And my friends and I were going through a section where we were just at high elevation for days, basically, not really coming below tree line or coming just barely below tree line. And on this particular day, it was just thundering on and off. And we really tried to avoid being up high when the thunder was coming in. And we kind of tried to make a break for it, like during a clearing. And we ended up, I think, almost at 13,000 feet when a thunderstorm came in. And I mean, there was thunder really close to us. There was a little bit of static in the air. And I was just like running for my life, trying to get over this pass because I was too far gone to like turn around and go back down. But it was getting closer and closer and closer. And that's probably the closest I ever thought to like, oh, I could get struck by lightning and die right now. Like, I don't know if I'm going to get through this. And then we also got like enveloped in a cloud. So it's like you couldn't really see anything either. It was just like you were seeing the flash of the lightning and hearing the thunder getting closer and closer. And I'm just running for my life, like with my pack as fast as I can go uphill at high elevation, which probably was not really that fast, but I was really pushing my limits.
Especially with a pack on, it's not easy to run full speed from lightning. I've done that. I've had to do that multiple times too, but this sounds like a close call for you.
I don't really know how close it was, but it felt really close, and I did not feel good until I was back down in the trees. And even when we got back down in the trees, it was in like a beetle kill area, so all the trees were dead anyway, but I at least felt like, okay, well, I'm a little lower than that pass that I just went up and over, so.
Yeah, lightning is probably my biggest fear on the trails. Like mountain lions, all right. Grizzlies, okay. But lightning for me, like this, hearing this from you is like terrifying for me
Oh
to
my gosh.
listen to.
Being from the East Coast originally, like lightning was not something I ever really worried about. It's just like, well, don't go outside carrying metal things around in the lightning, but like you don't really worry about it, right? But here, literally, like you hear every year about people dying from it. And then when you are doing these high elevation hikes, like you have to be really conscious of it.
Definitely. Yeah. Especially in certain parts of, I mean, I haven't done the whole Colorado Trail. You have, but I remember doing the part of the CDT that was the overlap. And I think it was like north of Lake City. Yeah. For days, like we were above tree line. So
What section I was
is
in.
that, so I was going to ask you what section, because I remember the Lake City North was like exposed for days, for
Yeah, that's exactly
days.
where it was.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I lucked out there and didn't have to deal with lightning, but that would be terrifying. So that's a worthy, scary trail story right there. Okay, let's get into food. So where and what was your best town meal?
Well, this isn't exactly a town. But I would say Woods Hole Hostel, all the food at Woods Hole Hostel on the AT is amazing. So Woods Hole is a working farm and hostel in the middle of Virginia, and everything there is homemade. So when you arrive, they ask you if you want to buy a smoothie, and they have ones with ice cream in them and ones vegan ones too, which I'm lactose intolerant. So I was like, yes, please. Thank you for including me. And then they let you sign up for different family style meals and, pay per meal. And then if you do sign up for the meal, you're supposed to help cook and prepare the meal. And it's a really nice, like, bonding experience for you and the people that you're there with. It's really fun. And so just every single thing that I had there was incredible. But I specifically remember doing the dinner, and there was homemade bread and homemade egg salad and some kind of Asian stir fry and homemade ice cream, and it just everything there was incredible.
That's a great answer. That's for the AT. That was probably my favorite too, Woods Hole Hostel. Yeah, just homemade.
I loved everything about Woods Hole.
It doesn't get better than that. And they have their garden like out in the front where they harvest from. So it's just like so amazing. Okay, let's get into preparing food on trail. So, what is your favorite food to prepare on trail? And I know a lot of vegetarians are going to be interested in this because, at least with like the thru calls, a lot of times we get vegetarian questions for people who are going on trail for the first time and they're vegetarian. Like, okay, what do you do? Like, what's your favorite meal? So this comes up a lot. So I'm very interested to hear what your favorite things are to prepare on trail, vegetarian style.
So I will say that since I've been doing a lot of these shorter hikes while having a full-time job, like just taking my PTO, I feel a little more okay with buying the expensive backpacker meals instead of, having to make the cheaper trail foods. So that's what I've been doing on these shorter trails, and honestly, it's been great. And I've tried a bunch of different ones, and I will say most of them aren't that good, honestly. But one that I absolutely love is from Peak Refuel. This is definitely my favorite on-trail meal, and I think it's called a butternut squash dal or something like that. It's butternut squash and chickpeas and like a creamy coconut sauce with rice. And it's super filling and super delicious. And now every year for Christmas, I'm asking my parents to buy me like a six pack of this because I always want to take it on my hikes with me. It's so good.
Have to try that. That sounds amazing.
It's so good. And it's their only vegetarian meal. And it's my very favorite of all the backpacker meals. I'm like, Peak Refuel, please, please make more vegetarian meals.
Yeah, apparently they're getting the vegetarian thing right, but they only have one offering. So that's something they could expand on for sure.
Maybe they're like, we've perfected it. We don't need to make any more.
Just one and we're done. Hopefully not. Yeah, that's good to know. So, and it sounds really good. May I ask, so when you were on the AT on maybe more of a budget, was there, because so this is like the bougie side is the Peak, butternut squash dal, but like on the hiker trash side, budget-wise side, was there anything that was your favorite, maybe dinner or even snack or breakfast or lunch?
Yeah, so for dinner, I loved these ramen noodles that are from, I think, I want to say they're from Indonesia and they're called Indomie. And they're super cheap. You can find them in the Asian food aisle, you can find them on Amazon. My trail family and I, we all loved them. So we used to order like 30 packs of them from Amazon and get them delivered to trail towns. But they're just super flavorful. Like instead of coming with one flavor packet, they come with like literally like five different things that you put in the noodles. So I was really obsessed with those on the AT. I still eat them sometimes, but I feel like with the noodles too, like they take up a little more room in your pack. So if you have to carry more days of food, it's kind of hard to bring the ramen and stuff. But definitely recommend Indomie if you're a noodle person.
Ooh, that's a good one. Okay. Thank you for that. All right. This is, I think, my favorite question of the group. We're getting into kindness on trail. So, what was the nicest thing someone did for you while on trail or in town?
I feel like there have been so many. I mean, I know everyone says this, but when you do a long trail, you just your faith in humanity is restored because you just see so many kindnesses. But I think the kindest thing was actually from one of my friends, someone I knew. She wasn't a thru hiker, but when I was on the AT, I was supposed to get off the trail to go to Bonnaroo, the music festival in Tennessee, which again, it's like so ridiculous, but I planned it before the trail and before I knew that I was going to want to stay on the trail the whole time. And I had like my brother was coming and these friends were coming and I couldn't get out of it. I still had to go, even though I was like, no, I want to stay on the AT. But I was late going. So my friends that were going down with me were supposed to pick me up, but I had gotten sick on the trail and missed a couple of days of hiking. So I was behind. So I was late going down there. And I was trying to ask my friend Kelsey in DC to help me research shuttles and things because I just didn't have a lot of cell service. I was having a hard time, connecting with people. And so I was like, can you, is there any way that you could help me figure this out since you're in DC and you have great internet, whatever? And she ended up being like, I'll just come pick you up and I'll take you to the airport and whatever. But she left work one night at like 6 p.m. after working all day on a weeknight. She braved DC traffic to get out and come down to the Shenandoah 2 hours away to pick me up at a wayside to take me to DC so that I could go to a music festival. Like it was just so ridiculous and so nice. And she brought me all these homemade cookies. Like it was just such a kind thing to do and for such a ridiculous reason. It's not like I needed real help. I wasn't in any sort of trouble. I just was supposed to go to a music festival. And she's like, sure, I'll come drive 4 hours round trip on a work night and like bring you homemade cookies and whatever. It was just so incredibly nice.
She sounds like a keeper for sure.
She is a keeper.
And I think the clincher really is driving through DC traffic. Here, this is like, I think the equivalent over here is like LA traffic. You got to be committed to someone to even be okay with going through that. So.
And it's not lost on me because I hate driving. And I would do, when I lived in DC, I would do anything not to drive. Like I took the metro everywhere. Like, and she left in rush hour traffic to come get me.
Yep, she's a good one. Definitely keep her around. That's really beautiful. And what you said about, you mentioned hiking long trails restores your faith in humanity. That's like a common theme that we hear on the show all the time. So yeah, it's just such a beautiful place to be to introduce kindness back into your life if you haven't really gotten that in the quote default or real world. So, and
Hey,
you're,
if you start
yeah.
feeling really cynical about things, just go out on a long trail. You'll feel better.
That's right. Yep. Yeah. And the trail community is a beautiful thing. And friendship, like in your case, your friend was supporting you, is also a beautiful thing. So yeah, that's a lovely, lovely story. Real life story. Okay, so let's get more into the philosophical side of things. So what is the greatest lesson you learned while hiking? And I'm guessing a lot of these themes will be in your book. So we can kind of, if you want to tease the book, we can do that too here.
Yeah, I think probably the greatest lesson is it would have been really easy for me to stay comfortable at my job in DC. I had a bunch of friends there. I had a fantastic job, but the call of the trail was really strong. And even though it gave me a lot of anxiety to leave those things behind, I did anyway. And I did so like dealing with a lot of fear and anxiety, and everything worked out beautifully. I absolutely loved the AT. It's been one of my very favorite things that I've ever done. I still think about it all the time. It's affected my life so profoundly. And I landed a great job afterwards. I quit my dream job to go hike the AT and I landed a great job afterwards that I'm still at. Everything worked out. And I think that you can just be comfortable in your life and you can dream about these things and never go do them. Or you can take the leap and probably the net will appear. And as they say, if it's not a happy ending, well, maybe it's not the end, right?
Yeah, and this kind of gets into the advice for aspiring thru hikers. What you just said could be advice for people: take the jump, leap, go for it. You left your dream job. I left my job to hike my first long trail. I think a lot of people do, and it's scary. It's not an easy thing to do. But looking back on it, I think I would argue most people, most hikers who've done a long trail, say it's worth it and more. So it sounds like for you, it had a profound effect on your life, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. And I definitely feel it on the scary part. Like I would really like to do more long trails, and it is scary to think about leaving another job to do that because you can't see what's in the future, right? Like it's easy for me to sit here and say like everything will be fine because I left a great job. I hiked the AT. I got another great job. I mean, who knows if that'll happen again, but I think at some point you just have to have faith in yourself and in your life and go for it if it's something that you feel that strongly about.
Yeah, definitely. On that note, The last question is, do you have any advice for aspiring thru hikers? So that was some advice, but maybe expanding on that, or if you have something else that you would tell first time long distance hikers while they're preparing for trail, what would that be?
I have another one, and I would say listen to your body and take care of your body. So that includes eating nutritious foods and maybe taking a multivitamin and taking rest days when you need them. Because when you get out on a long trail, you watch a lot of people's bodies start to break down. I know that mine was not doing super well by the end of the AT. I was really exhausted. I was really anemic. And that probably could have been prevented had I been eating better and taking a multivitamin and taking an iron pill. And you also see, especially with men, like their muscles will start eating themselves. So this happened to my friend Chef. The telltale sign is if you start to smell like ammonia, that means that your muscles are eating themselves. You're not getting enough protein, you're not getting enough calories. And so in Maine on the AT, he tossed his t-shirt at me and was like, "Smell this." And I smelled it, and it literally smelled like it had been soaked in ammonia. Like, you got to feed yourself well, and you got to take rest days when you need them because, a long trail is a marathon, not a sprint.
That's right. Really, really good advice. So let's get into your book. Let's go there now. Let's dive deep. So I might just leave this open. So tell us more about where the rhododendrons, I still can't say that word, where the rhododendrons bloom. It's a memoir, correct? So yeah, I'd love to just hear more about that, why you decided to write a book, maybe some of the contents in the book or main themes, whatever you'd like to share, I would love to hear. And the audience, I'm sure, would love to hear too.
So I hiked the AT in 2018, and a few months after I got off the trail, I first set out to write this book. And I had written journal entries on my phone for a lot of the AT, especially at the beginning. I was really good about doing it every single day. And I kept it up for the whole trail, although it wasn't always like a daily thing. But I had listened to some podcasts before I did the AT, and that was one of the things that hikers had said they wish they had done. They wish they had written journal entries and taken pictures of their friends on the trail and all the stuff. So I took that very seriously. And I kind of had in the back of my mind, like, if I keep these journal entries, maybe I will want to write this story down at some point. I've always wanted to write a book. My mom's been telling me to write a book for like 2 decades. And so a few months after I got off the AT, I started trying to write it. But I loved the AT so much, and I was so devastated when it was over. And I fell into a deep post-trail depression, as so many people do. And while dealing with the post-trail depression, I had to search for jobs, and I ended up moving across the country to Colorado. And when I got here, I just was like still kind of sitting in grief a little bit, at losing my hike and all that, having it end. And so I put all my journal entries together and I was like, I'm going to start writing this book, but it was just too emotional for me and I couldn't do it. And I was like, if I want to move forward in my life and make new friends and build the life that I want to have in Colorado, I have to put this aside. Like, I can't be stewing in the memories of this wonderful experience that I had. So I put it away. And I kind of thought, like, okay, when things aren't quite so fresh, maybe I'll open this project back up. And then fast forward like 5 years, and I never opened it one time. I never had a desire. It gave me anxiety because I just didn't want to relive the experience so personally. But this past fall, a few months ago, for some reason, I just really got the itch to open it back up. And I started to read through my journal entries. And the next thing I knew, I had started writing this book, and I did nothing else in my free time for a week and a half. I would get out of work at 4 o'clock and I'd be like, I'm just gonna write for an hour. And the next thing I would know, it would be midnight, and I'd be like, you have to go to bed. You have to get off your computer. And so I literally did nothing else besides work and write this book for a week and a half. I was completely possessed, and I wrote the whole thing. And then it took me much longer to edit the book. So it took me a few months to actually edit it. And then I self-published the book. So, like, I did everything myself. Like, I hired an artist friend to do the cover and the map inside the book and, had to deal with all the formatting and all of that. But It's been a process. I learned a lot, and I really feel like I was meant to write it because it was so easy at this time. And I would say that if you want to know what hiking the AT is really like, this is a true trail memoir. I definitely talk about the things that led me to the trail and how I was feeling before the trail and dealing with all the anxiety and dealing with the back injury and some other things. But the heart of the book is really what it was like to actually follow my dream and dive into this life and what life was like on the trail.
Wow. So I love that you couldn't open. I'm going through post-trail depression too. A lot of people do. It's a very common thing after a long trail, and that's something we're trying to dive into more at Thruer. But yeah, it's so interesting. You couldn't even open this up for 5 years, and then all of a sudden, inspiration struck. Maybe I don't know how you would really explain it. It's almost like a very artistic thing. Like inspiration strikes artists and then they just produce something amazing in a very small amount of time. A week or a week and a half
A
is
week and a half,
a very small amount of time to write a book.
it
So
was insane. I had no idea I was even capable of writing a book at all, let alone writing one in a week and a half. So
yeah, and it sounds like it took over your life for a week and a half.
it did. I like literally, I don't think I talked to anyone except my coworkers for that entire week and a half. I didn't do anything except write this book.
Yeah. Wow. That's so amazing. And yeah, what a beautiful memoir for you and then for other people to read, because I'm guessing it also has the trials and tribulations that you went through as well.
Absolutely,
If it's a
yeah.
memoir, I would assume there's the good and then also the tough in your book.
I tried to be very honest about my experience for sure. I mean, that being said, I loved my experience, but definitely there were some downsides to it and things that I didn't love. So I definitely get deep into that too.
Yeah, I feel like that's really valuable, especially in the world of social media, which social media is great for so many reasons, but I also have seen and also have heard feedback. You know, it paints a very rosy picture of thru hiking in particular. And I think it's really good to authentically maybe tell people or show people, okay, it's not rainbows and roses all the time, guys. Like sometimes you're hiking through mud for a week straight, or sometimes you're walking through the mud for months. So,
Sometimes your hair starts to smell like mildew.
oh yeah. Oh, we can get into all that stuff too. There's so many things, but all in all, this experience for you has been transformational.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Well, that sounds like a really good, even like a guide for someone who has never hiked before and wants a real look into the trail or the AT in particular. It sounds like this would be a really great resource for them to read through before prepping for the trail. Would you say?
Yeah, I would definitely think so. I mean, it talks a lot about the different things that you have to deal with on the trail and things that I ha wished that I had done differently or done better. And I talk about, my own mistakes and also the high points too.
Well, that's so great. Well, I'm looking forward to following along with the launch. So you just launched it 2 weeks ago. Are you doing like a book tour or anything like that?
No, I'm not doing anything formal. I'm trying to get into some local bookstores here in Boulder, but I've been having a hard time getting a hold of the right people. Like I've stopped in and they've said, go to this email address, and then I don't hear back from the email address. So I'm still hoping some things might pan out, but right now it's just, mostly online stuff. Like I've been doing a series on my YouTube channel about the AT as hikers ramp up to do their northbound thru hikes and, sharing some advice there and also telling people to read my book if you want to know what it's like to hike the AT and things like that.
That's so great. So on that note, I always ask every hiker, where can we follow with your adventure? So you said YouTube, and where else can we follow along with your book launch and what you're up to and how the launch is going even?
Yeah, so I'm on YouTube at Audrey Adventures. I'm on Instagram and TikTok at Audie Payne. You can find my book, Where the Rhododendrons Bloom, on Amazon, Kindle, and on barnesandnoble.com. And you can check on my website at audrey-adventures.com.
Perfect. Okay, we're going to link all of those in the show notes so everybody can just click the links and go straight to all of the things. So I want to ask this last question. Do you have any future hikes that you're planning or that's on your bucket list?
For sure. So this year I'm going to do the West Coast Trail. So that's like a 50-mile trail on Vancouver Island. And I'm doing it because I was on this hike in Colorado a couple of years ago called the Four Pass Loop. It's near Aspen. It's one of the quintessential Colorado hikes that you have to do. And I was talking to this older guy who's been doing a backpacking trip with his college friends for decades. And so I asked him, like, what hikes are at the top of your list, because they do, shorter ones that they can fit in with their full-time jobs, whatever. And the West Coast Trail was at the top of his list. So finally going to do that one this year. And then also going to do the Teton Crest Trail in Grand Teton National Park. So I'm excited about that. And I have a big birthday coming up this year, so I want to do something kind of special. So I'm really hoping this isn't planned yet, so this is still a maybe, but I'm really hoping to get to Nepal to do some hiking.
That sounds epic. What an, so this is all in one, this is all this year that you're planning to do this.
Yes.
Epic. I'm getting all excited for you right now. Thank you so much for coming on. It was so great to get to know you, get to know the book and your future adventures and all of the things. So thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's been really fun to be here.
Thanks for joining us today, and I hope you learned a lot. If you'd like to learn even more about long distance hiking, and/or if you'd like to get more involved with the long distance hiking community, join us at Thruer. We have a private community and offer many ways to learn and connect, including a diverse and organized video library, exclusive events and panels, monthly themes and fun challenges, private forums, a gear exchange, and so much more. We've really built something unique, similar to Facebook, Reddit, Eventbrite, and YouTube, all in one platform just for the hiking community. You can sign up and learn more at thruer.com. That's thru-r.com. Thank you so much for listening today, and until next time, happy hiking.